we spoke to him after he was elected. His goal was to legalize pot and have a balanced budget. Fast forward to now, he just signed a $40 billion balanced budget. We have legalized marijuana. We have legalized sports betting in the state. What is going on in Springfield? We'd like to welcome back to the show our governor, J.B. Pritzker. Governor, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you again, Pete.
Thanks for staying up, by the way. I know you're a busy man. You got a million things going on. How many deals were made behind the scenes?
Well, we had to talk to everybody. You know, I think it's very important that we reestablish bipartisanship in Springfield. I'd like to see it in Washington, D.C., too, but I can only do so much. So here in Springfield, my door was open. There were a lot of Republicans who were willing to walk through that door and talk to me. I spent time, you know, going into their chamber, into their caucus as well. And we had regular, off hours discussions, sometimes even having a drink or two together. So we brought people together. I think, you know, Democrats and Republicans felt like it's time to get this state moving. And we did.
I spoke to Republican leader Jim Durkin after the budget was passed, and he told me the exact same thing. He told me that it was a much smoother process this time around. He said, you know, it's politics. It's a give and take. But when you're in the minority party, you have to pick your battles. And that's what didn't happen in the previous administration.
I think that's right. I also think, look, Leader Durkin, Leader Brady, other Republicans, they were willing to talk, you know, more behind the scenes than in front of the cameras, in a helpful fashion. And so we had lots of good conversation. As you know, some of their priorities are really around businesses, you know, helping businesses deal with regulation and tax and so on. And of course, my priorities are job creation, and those mix reasonably well together. So, you know, I'm a small business advocate, and there were a number of things that Republicans proposed that I favored. And then I just say that a number of the things that we passed that were great for businesses were my initiatives or things that I reached out to organizations to support. And an example of that is the extension of the R&D tax credit. That helps us with innovation in the state and job creation for manufacturing and pharmaceutical companies, as well as, you know, people who are starting new businesses. So there's that. And then the apprenticeship tax credit, so that businesses get a little bit of reimbursement for the work that they do to train people and send them to community colleges to get, you know, to improve their skill sets. So there were lots of things that we ended up agreeing on, but I know there were things that we didn't agree on and probably would never. I was in favor of raising the minimum wage. And we did that to a living wage. I'm an advocate for a woman's right to choose and reproductive health. That isn't something that Republicans were willing to support. So we're going to have some disagreements. But all in all, we got a lot done for the state.
Governor, you and I talked numerous times about the infrastructure bill for the state. The final weekend, finally, key legislation was agreed upon. You have a $45 billion to spend over the next 6 years on infrastructure to fix our roads and bridges, finally.
Yep, and we needed it. And you used the word finally, and you are right. Remember that, you know, in this state, typically there's been a capital bill once every 10 years. And the truth is that the one that was passed 10 years ago was actually cut in half because Bruce Rauner really cut it off when he got elected. He didn't want to continue to invest in, you know, infrastructure the way that I think Democrats wanted to. And so really, for a lot of things, it's been almost 20 years since we did any maintenance, serious upgrades and investment. And so I felt like it was important for us to get to it. Our roads are crumbling.
Yeah.
People spend hundreds of dollars every year as they drive their cars over the potholes that exist all over the state. And so we're saving people money by making sure we invest in that infrastructure. We also need to make sure that we're rebuilding early childhood centers, that we're making sure our ports are in good shape, because, you know, we're a supply chain hub of the nation. And there's a lot of university construction that needed to occur to make sure that our universities are among the best in the nation.
And, Governor, you're taking care of our veterans, too. You have a few hundred million going to the Quincy Veterans Home and around $20 million going to the Chicago Veterans Home.
That's right. Two veterans' homes. We had to put money in the bill to build a new Quincy veterans' home building, a state-of-the-art facility there, because I think you remember that under my predecessor, there was an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease as a result of the outdated water filtration system and water pipes that were in the Quincy veterans' home, and it wasn't something that could be fixed by simply ripping out the plumbing. You really needed to rebuild the facility. So we're doing that to make sure we take care of our veterans there. And then we are completing the Chicago Veterans Home, which Governor Rauner had stopped investing in, and so it had sat there idle for several years, but we're now completing that, and we're excited that people will be able to move in soon.
We're talking to J.B. Pritzker, our governor. Now, last week, the Washington Post had an article about the city of Barrington and how they aren't happy with a proposed tax hike on the rich. Explain your strategy for raising taxes on the richest 3% in Illinois. I know you talked about this in the past, but I want you to explain it one more time.
Well, let's level set here that the challenge that we face in Illinois is we have a structural deficit. And that means that we've got to do something to make expenses meet revenues. And that means doing a little on both sides of that. The biggest challenge of it is that under Governor Rauner, we had a hollowing out of our state government. I mean, literally, we lost the ability to serve people across the state who need those services. So although there are expenditure reductions and efficiencies that we can bring to state government, and we're working on that now, we also needed to bring in revenue. So the question in everybody's mind is, you know, who should bear the brunt of that? If we have to bring revenue into state government, who should pay the taxes? And the answer is, it shouldn't be the middle class, and it shouldn't be people who are working hard every day making $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 a year, let alone people making $100,000 or $150,000. It should be the wealthiest people in the state. It should be, you know, those who can afford it, for whom it has much less impact. And so that's why a fair tax is the right way for us to address the challenge that we face. So that's why I proposed it, because we need to bring revenue into the state. We also have the challenge of paying off what was left behind by the prior governor, which is $10 billion additional dollars in a bill backlog. So those are unpaid bills that were left to us, $10 billion more just by the last governor. There was $5 billion left to him by the governor prior to him, but $10 billion just over the last 4 years. So $15 billion, we have a lot of work to do to cover that. We've refinanced some of it, but haven't paid it off. So my budget that you mentioned earlier, which is balanced, actually has a mild surplus. And that surplus is going to pay down that backlog of bills. We've got to get our fiscal house in order in our state, and I'm working very hard on that. The fair tax is an important part of it.
We've talked about that over and over, yes. You've legalized marijuana. What does that mean now?
Well, we've got a lot of regulation, you know, and license issuing to do over the next, you know, half a year. The industry really won't get started until January. And, you know, we're working hard to make sure that we've got the right processes in place. And then, you know, remember that not only are we dealing with a criminal justice reform issue by legalizing marijuana, where, you know, many more people of color were being incarcerated or prosecuted for crimes around cannabis than was warranted, but also we're making it safer for people. And so that was really my primary purpose. But it is true that we'll be bringing hundreds of millions of dollars into the state to help us pay the bill backlog,
right,
to help us pay for police, to help us pay for mental health and substance abuse treatment, and also to make sure that people in communities of color get real opportunity. Those are things that I think are going to benefit the state as a result of legalization.
Sports gambling, we're still trying to figure this out, too. It sounds like we're going to get a sports book at all the major stadiums, Wrigley, the UC, Sox Park. The sports gaming bill, of course, helps parks like Hawthorne Racecourse that really needed the help. How are we trying to figure this one out, too?
Well, same thing here. You know, it's a new industry, just like cannabis. This is a new industry. We're going to create jobs in this industry, too. We're going to bring in revenue, too, here for the state. And as well, we're helping, as you know, part of the gaming bill was to help the city of Chicago, as well as Danville, Rockford, and other places. So,
right.
So, you know, it's a lot of benefit, I think, that will come from it. Yeah, I think most importantly, we balanced the budget of the state and were able to get a capital bill in part because of revenue sources like this. Now, those revenue sources, in particular, sports betting and other gaming, are all going into infrastructure. A lot of it is, you know, life safety related infrastructure, too. So, you know, we needed to find a good source of revenue that wouldn't, you know, ill affect most people in the state.
We finally get a casino in downtown Chicago. Why not use that black, empty McCormick Place building on the lakefront for a casino? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Well, it's up to the city council and the mayor, of course, to decide where they'd like to propose putting a new casino. So I don't know whether it'll be downtown or McCormick Place. You know, I'd like to make sure that people in neighborhoods that have been left out and left behind have real
sure.
opportunity to get jobs. And so I think we should look seriously at the location. You know, I live in the city of Chicago, so it'll matter to me. But most of all, I think it'll matter to people who need the jobs that this will help create. And then, of course, one of the reasons that the mayor wanted the casino and the reasons that we included it in the bill was to help pay the pension cost so it wouldn't fall disproportionately on the you know, taxpayers across the city.
Two other cities that we've talked about in the past. I lived in Rockford. I grew up in Peoria. We always talked about Rockford and Peoria. How does the budget affect them?
Well, that's a great question, because, you know, much of what we've done in the capital bill, so I'll get to the budget in a second, but in the capital bill has a hugely positive impact in places like Peoria and Rockford, Carbondale, Quincy, and so on. First, the half the money that goes for surface transportation dollars are going to those local governments. So they're able to pave their roads, and it should help them keep down their property taxes. That's very important. And then, of course, you know, we're going to be doing new projects, you know, bringing rail service, for example, to areas that haven't had it before, improving, you know, the various, you know, bridges and waterways that are the surface transportation and infrastructure needs to keep commerce going. And then, of course, remember, Rockford has an airport that is fast becoming a cargo hub.
Yep.
And under the prior governor, he stopped the payment, you know, of an infrastructure project that was already underway. And so Rockford ended up, the taxpayers of Rockford ended up footing the bill. And so under our capital bill, we're helping Rockford by helping to pay off that bill, as well as investing more in infrastructure around that airport. So there's a lot that we've done, I think, for downstate Illinois that people will really benefit from. I'm really excited about what we've done because most of the dollars that come, particularly in surface transportation, will go to downstate.
Well, Governor, now that you've passed the budget, now that pot is legal, sports gaming is legal, you have an infrastructure bill to rebuild our roads and bridges, what's next? What do we have left?
Well, let me also remind you that we did an awful lot of good for businesses across the state to create jobs. So just, you know, FYI, this infrastructure bill helps create hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Right.
And that's not just in the building of roads and of buildings, but also in the businesses that result from that new infrastructure. So very excited about that. And so lots of jobs to come as a result of what we've already done. What's still to come, of course, are we want to make sure we're addressing major issues like early childhood education. That's something hugely important to me. We've made historic investments in that this time, but there's more to do. You know, young children are a great investment for all of us, and it's also good for them and their future and their families.
Right.
We need to make sure they have a good education. We need to make sure we're expanding the scholarships to university. I already expanded it by 15,000 more kids. We need to do much more. I want to get it up to 60 or 70,000 more kids getting scholarship dollars, making college more affordable. And then we want to address property taxes as best we can at the state level. And so we put a task force together to come up with good ideas for us to help address it all across the state.
Well, you've been gracious enough to come on every time I've asked. And I know when you see me, we see each other a lot, it seems like, at charity events and different functions. And do you get a pit in your stomach when you see me walking up to you to ask you a question and come on the show?
No, I always look forward to it. My only fear is that you won't have me on.
You're always welcome. I told your people that I want you on once a quarter at least. But thank you for coming on. Congratulations on the balanced budget, and now you can go to bed. J.B. Pritzker, our governor. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Pete.
720 WGN.